Welcome to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. My name is Sean Coleman, coming to you on Labor Day, September 7th, 2020. Glad to talk with you. Special edition of the show today. Hope that you have had a good weekend and that today's a great day for you and your family, wherever you may be listening. Obviously, as we spoke last week, we were doing the player review series. The news came across that Ja Morant had won the 2019-2020 Rookie of the Year. So we're going to take a break in the player review series. Going to get some perspectives on just, you know, how special of a moment this is, obviously, for Ja and the franchise in celebration of his rookie season. Before we get into the show, do want to remind you of our title sponsor, Built Bar. If you go to BuiltBar.com right now, you'll have a wide assortment of flavors for the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. And if you put in the promo code Locked On, you'll get $10 off your next order of Built Bar. Last Friday, we had former co-host Mark King on the show talking with him about, you know, Ja Morant, getting his perspective on things. Well, today, we're glad to welcome back another familiar voice. He used to cover the Grizzlies. Now he covers college sports for CBS Sports. We're glad to welcome back David Cobb. David Cobb, how are you doing today?
Hey, I'm doing well. How are you?
Doing well. I can't thank you enough for coming on. Of course, if you are, if you've been a longtime listener of Locked On Grizzlies, Mark King, when he was on the show, David Cobb was a regular guest host, regular guest on the show, always offered great perspective, and of course, big fan of the Grizzlies himself, and so we obviously wanted to get his perspective. So, David, we'll jump right into it. Yes, the news was expected, but there still is that, you know, gratification, that excitement of when it's officially announced. Something, you know, an NBA award to a level that has not been seen that much in Memphis, but just your initial thoughts, that initial feeling that you got when it was finally announced that Ja Morant was Rookie of the Year.
That image of him talking with the guys on the TV, I forget, I think it was an ESPN appearance that he did, with the trophy there, the swimming pool in the background, the basketball court in the background. That was awesome. And I can almost guarantee you that Ja actually uses that basketball court that's in his backyard. He probably just goes out there and hoops because he just loves the game so much. And to me, that really shined through for him as a rookie. It's just his passion for the game, his love for the game. And then in the announcement, I loved the bit about needing to find out who the one guy was that voted for Zion, and Ja wants to thank that person for their motivation. And that is so just perfectly Ja. It brought a smile to my face. And that's, make no mistake, that's how he got in the position where he won the award, is because he looks for that disrespect and he uses it to fuel him. And just because he's now one of the most decorated young players in the NBA, I don't expect that to change. It's just a kind of killer mindset that he has that I think explains more than any statistical argument or anything how he came to be the NBA's Rookie of the Year.
So, David, I guess that means that Mark King can officially add you to our task force with the sole task of finding out who this person is. Sending them a pair of joggles so they can watch Ja Morant a little bit clearly going forward. We can add your name to that list.
Yeah, no doubt. I've got a buddy of mine, Scott Kushner, who covers the Pelicans. So I'm going to reach out to Scott and I'm going to say, hey, I'm not accusing you, but do you have any insight about anybody down there in the New Orleans area who may have cast that one vote? Because it is kind of annoying, right? Wouldn't it be nice to just be able to say unanimous Rookie of the Year? That would be a lot easier than, I mean, you can explain that he won it 99-1 or whatever, but it's just more of a mouthful.
Well, that's the thing that I completely agree with you about. You know, I think that if you were to say a very conservative statement about this season, is that when you look at Zion and Ja, and we'll even include Brandon Clark in there, who I, in my opinion, should have clearly been the second place, the runner-up in the award. But when you look at those three rookies, I think it's easy to say that Ja Morant had the best year. Zion was the most effective offensive force, and Brandon Clark was the most efficient. I think that that is, I think that's fairly easy to say, but I'll simplify it a little more. David, would you say from observing the play this year when Zion was on the court, Zion probably was the best natural talent as of right now of this rookie class, but Ja clearly deserved it from his play this season.
Well, yeah, no doubt. I mean, I just think that, I mean, this draft class was so unique in how clearly delineated it was at the top three and then beyond that. Because if you remember, most people viewed it as Zion, Ja, RJ Barrett, and everybody else. And so going into the season, Ja was facing a pretty insurmountable hurdle in terms of getting to the point where people were going to view him as the rookie of the year. Now, clearly, Zion Williamson's injury had a lot to do with the vote being as lopsided in the end as it was. But the fact that Ja won it by such a wide margin, even after Zion came back and had the impact that he did, I mean, that's just a tremendous testament to the season Ja had. And I believe genuinely that even if Zion had played 60-plus games, that it would have been a close vote because Ja was just that good. And so maybe Zion ends up winning it if he sustains the production that he showed over the course of an entire season. But I don't think it would have been by a landslide. I think that for what Ja did, not only from an individual statistical standpoint, but, I mean, you think about how he turned the Grizzlies from a team that most people thought were going to be in the lottery, you know, probably, you know, with another top four pick into a team that was literally fighting for its postseason life on the last day of the regular season. I mean, that to me is as big of a testament as anything is the way he helped the Grizzlies turn into a good team. And so, I mean, I mean, obviously Zion was unbelievable in the games that he played. But I just don't think that even if he played the entire season, that it would have been, I think Ja closed the gap a lot on it because it was clearly number one and number two going into the draft. And I think if you did a redraft, there might be some people who would take Ja number one now.
And that's the thing about it. You know, when you look back at the last few years, when you look back at like a Malcolm Brogdon who emerged kind of like Brandon Clark did, you know, people felt he was a good player, but he emerged as the rookie of the year. And he was a steady and significant contributor for the Bucks, you know, becoming a playoff team. Of course, you had Giannis as the main reason why. But the thing about it is, I'm not saying Memphis is on that level, but that's kind of where rookies typically max out as a significant contributor. With Ja and Brandon, you can make an argument they were the two biggest reasons why the Grizzlies were so successful. And,
yeah,
and
that's the thing.
That narrative matters.
Yeah, for rookies to be the difference makers in the franchise, to turn in a corner like that, it's pretty unbelievable. I mean, I don't know, you know, what their win share totals or their end of season net plus minuses were, kind of having stepped back from this world a little bit. I don't have those numbers, you know, just floating around in my head, but just anecdotally and watching it from afar these last couple months when they were down in the bubble and whatnot, and just reflecting on, you know, what this team accomplished this year. Those guys were everything. They were paramount. I mean, obviously, Jaren taking a step forward as a three-point shooter was big. And, you know, Dylan Brooks was really hot in the first half of the season and whatnot. But without Ja Morant and Brandon Clark, or without even one of those guys, I don't think this team, I mean, accomplishes anything close to what they did. I mean, clearly that's the case, you know, with Ja. But even Brandon as well was just so efficient, so productive, and he just fit right in, you know, as a high-quality role player as a rookie. That's a testament to him and his maturity and the fact that he's 23 already, you know. So, I mean, when we were looking at it, I'm trying to think back now. I mean, it was over a year ago, the lottery night before the 2019 draft. And you were looking at it then, and the future of this franchise looked pretty bleak. I mean, yes, they were trading Mike Conley, and they had already traded Marc Gasol, and there was some optimism around Jaren. But the odds were not in their favor that they were going to land as high as they did in that lottery. And if you end up with you know, RJ Barrett or Darius Garland or something, I mean, this whole thing looks a lot different. And the fact that the front office traded up to snag Brandon Clark, again, that looks just so brilliant. And so it's just amazing the difference that a year makes, even after the disappointing finish in the bubble. with what Ja and Brandon did this past year and the trajectory that Jaren's on, I don't see how you could be any more optimistic, especially when you consider, you know, where they were on lottery night 2019.
Agreed completely. And, you know, that stays that month between, I think that month between May 15th, 16th of 2019 till June 21st, when the draft happened, of course, the Mike Conley trade in there as well. I think that could be one of the best stretches, you know, one of the best, you know, months in Grizzlies history, you know, as we go forward in the future. We're going to take a break. When we come back, going to talk with David a little bit about, we all know what Ja can do on the court, but Ja off the court, what off the court makes him just as special off the court as he is on the court. We'll be right back. For years, we all relied on restaurants as a way for us to get away from the stress of everyday life and enjoy a good meal that we did not have to prepare with ourselves or those that we love just to get away from things. Well, now, restaurants are relying on us. They can provide the same stress relief to get away from having to worry about meals for you and your family, but this time, they actually can come through you through DoorDash. DoorDash is the app that brings you food, the food you're craving right now, right to your door. Ordering is easy. Open the DoorDash app, choose what you want to eat, and your food will be left safely outside your door with the new contactless delivery drop-off option. With over 300,000 partners in the U.S., Puerto Rico, Canada, and Australia, you could support your local go-tos or choose from your favorite national restaurants like Wendy's and the Cheesecake Factory. Many of your favorite local restaurants are still open for delivery. Just open the DoorDash app, select your favorite restaurant, and your food will be left at your door. Right now, our listeners can get $5 off and zero delivery fees on their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter code LOCKEDONNBA. That's $5 off your first order and zero delivery fees when you download the DoorDash app in the App Store and enter the code LOCKEDONNBA. Don't forget, that's code LOCKEDONNBA for $5 off your first order with DoorDash. David, so we've seen all the highlights. We've seen the dunks. We've seen his fourth quarter closings. We've seen the amazing passes and just the, you know, his ability to, you know, with his athletic as he is, just make plays that just don't seem possible. But I want to ask you, from your experience, I know that you may not have that much experience in the NBA, but one thing that you do have experience that's relevant with Ja is that you have covered college athletes before. And of course, Ja, you know, is that age. Of the athletes that you covered and from your experiences interacting with Ja, what stands out to you? Was it an immediate standout? And what stands out to you most that just tells you, this guy's different? This guy has the mental makeup, personality, whatever you want to call it, to really not only own the moment, but grow in it to potentially become the superstar we all hope he will be.
It's sort of that humility and his groundedness. You know, we heard a lot about him being from rural South Carolina and being put through drills by his dad on the concrete court out behind their house. And, you know, we also heard, you know, of course, about him being a guy who was passed over a lot in the recruiting process, who ended up at Murray State. And so, you know, it'd be easy for a guy like him who's sort of come up from nothing to get a little big-headed after some of the success that he's had in the last couple of years. But he hasn't at all. In fact, he continues to just embrace those humble beginnings. One thing that really stuck out to me in Charlotte when they played there back in, I guess it was probably November or December, he had a really big fourth quarter and a really big finish, made a huge play at the rim to win the game in the final second. And that night there were hundreds. I'm not joking you. I mean, this is literally 2 months after this guy started in the NBA, and it's not like he's just around the corner from home. He was a solid two and a half hours from his hometown, but there were hundreds of people wearing John Morant jerseys in the stands that night. And to me, that was just a huge testament to the impact that he had on the people of his hometown and how connected they still feel to him. And the same thing with Murray State. When the Murray State season ticket holders and fan group bust down to Memphis to catch a game this season, you know, Ja didn't just wave at him or whatever. I mean, he actually, you know, interacted with him and actually remembered, you know, individual people who followed him during his 2 seasons at Murray State. And just the fact that he still reps Murray State every chance he gets, he still mentions his hometown of Dalzell, South Carolina, every chance he gets. It's one thing that sort of illustrates or proves the humility that I think is a defining characteristic of who he is. Because, of course, you know, we all remember the highlight, you know, him. Wasn't he told James Harden, you know, tell that blankety blank about me? You know, highlights and just him sort of having a lot of confidence. And so it's maybe a weird dichotomy, but it's something I truly believe is a part of who Ja is this, you know, supreme confidence in his abilities on the court, paired with a really down-to-earth persona off the court. I think that's rare. I think that's something he has, and I think that's a defining characteristic of what will make him a great player, but also a great ambassador for whatever franchise or whatever cause he's representing, you know, as he moves into, you know, the rest of his pro career.
And that's the other thing that I'll hit on. You know, you bring up a great point about, you know, John just has that connection. You know, you haven't really seen it from a Grizzlies player. You know, the connection on social media, the awareness, the social awareness. You know, for instance, the letter that he wrote to the leadership of Murray, Kentucky, about the statue in the middle of the city, that type of, you know, social awareness, things outside of battle. At such a young age, Ja just seems to be so aware, even on the court, you know, the awareness of how to feature the strengths that he has as a player. But that's one thing that I will say about that awareness. It also seems like he has applied that to the city of Memphis, and he's really embraced it. You know, we've always kind of been, you know, there's always kind of been in the back of our mind, if we ever got a superstar, you know, would Memphis be able to truly support and, you know, maintain a great team and that superstar for a long period of time? And Ja has done nothing but prove that that is the case. Do you feel that there was an immediate effort and that that effort has only evolved into something great in terms of Ja's relationship with the city and his connection with it?
I just think it's such a natural pairing. And now look, it's the NBA. We know that anything can happen. Any great relationship can sour. Anything, it could go south. I mean, that's not outside the realm of possibility. However, I am extremely optimistic about Ja's relationship with the Grizzlies and with this city. I think it's a natural pairing because this city is a continuation of the narrative that he has lived to this point in his life. Like we mentioned, you know, the hardscrabble upbringing in rural South Carolina on the concrete court, you know, with his dad, you know, pushing him to become a better player, and then the overlooked and going to Murray State, which, oh, by the way, is only a couple of hours away from us here in Memphis. So I think Memphis, I don't think it's just lip service when he says that Memphis feels like home for him. I think there is something to that. I think he likes the fact that he can go live out in the country to a certain degree, but still only be 25 minutes away from FedEx Forum, because it sort of, I think, probably reminds him a little bit of home. In fact, I know that. We talked about that one time for, you know, a story I did when we named him the Sports Person of the Year. And so that's not just lip service. That's reality. This city fits the narrative that John Moran has lived. And, you know, that's a sort of a broad look at, you know, the relationship between him and the city and him and the franchise. But I think that matters. And so whereas a lot of guys, you know, just sort of, you know, they just view the city that they play in as nothing more than that. It's the city that they play in. I think that Ja, much in the way that Mike Conley did, will come to think of Memphis as home. In fact, I think he already does. And when it comes down to it, if there's an opportunity for him to go elsewhere, I think that's huge, the fact that he views this place as a place where he's comfortable and a place that feels like home. And it's not just a place where he plays basketball. It's a place that he's connected to. And so that's tremendous. That bodes well, I think, for his future, you know, with the franchise.
We're going to step away for just a moment. When we come back, we're going to talk with David about, you know, the thing that he enjoyed probably most about when he covered the Grizzlies, that's watching the action on the court. We'll get his perspective of Ja on the court in just a second. We all would love to add to our daily routine healthy activities that would make, you know, that would benefit our health. But every day when you're on the go, it's just harder and harder to do that. Well, I may have a solution for you. As a matter of fact, I feel I do, and that's Built Bar. Built Bar is the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. Typically, when it comes to protein bars, you've got to trade either taste for health or health for taste. Well, with Built Bar, it truly does. It's a great tasting snack that offers a lot of health benefits, whether it be in the morning, before or after a workout, during your afternoon routine, listening to your favorite Locked On Podcast Network show. Built Bar is a great addition to your day. If you go to BuiltBar.com right now, there's a wide assortment of flavors. My favorite is the peanut butter that you could choose from. And the great thing is that through Locked On, you actually have an opportunity to make your order even better. If you go to BuiltBar.com, put in the promo code Locked On, you'll get $10 off your next order. That's $10 off your next order. But I can tell you with confidence, it won't be your last. I feel that once you have your first order of Built Bar, you'll want to make it a part of your daily routine from now on. Again, go to BuiltBar.com, put in the promo code Locked On, and get $10 off your next order from Built Bar. Welcome back to Locked On Grizzlies. So, David, we talked about it off the court, and thank you for your insight. I really, that's why I wanted the chance to talk with you. You bring up a great point. He feels like Memphis is home. He sees the connection. Of course, his college is, you know, just a few hours away. You know, there's just a lot of similarities between how he came to the NBA and where he is now representing the Grizzlies. But let's talk about where Ja is most at home, and that is on the court. David, when you were covering the Grizzlies, and then, you know, once you started watching them again in the bubble, when you look at Ja Morant, what jumps out to you as the one characteristic of his game that you feel is going to lead him to not just being a highlight source or something like that, but being a true superstar level talent? What's the one characteristic of his game that you think will be, you know, the most standout of his, you know, performances as time goes on?
Well, I think what's going to make him the most marketable player, he probably already is the most marketable player that the Grizzlies franchise has ever known, but I think what will continue to help him skyrocket just in terms of jersey sales, in terms of visibility on a national and international scale, is the highlight ability. I mean, the we've all seen now, I mean, just the insane dunks, the insane attempted dunks, and just the off-the-charts athleticism. I think that, I mean, is where it all starts with Ja. But one thing that I was a little bit surprised by, and I know he didn't shoot it very well in the bubble, but if you just take the bubble out of it and look on the whole at how he played as a rookie, you know, one of the big questions about Ja coming into the draft was how good of an outside shooter he actually was. I mean, he shot, I think, 34% during his time at Murray State. So if you translate that out to a higher level of competition and a deeper three-point line, there were some legitimate concerns about his long-term ability to shoot the basketball. And that's been something I think that's held a guy like Russell Westbrook back, who Ja modeled his game after. And so, you know, by no means was that going to be something that would prohibit him from being a star. But I think there were some concerns about that. And while he still has a long way to go in that regard, the fact that Ja actually proved to be a serviceable three-point shooter as a rookie, I think was huge. I think it really opened up the floor for him. Until the bubble, he was shooting close to 35% from beyond the arc as a rookie, which is great, because that's not even supposed to be the strong point of his game. So if he can continue to make defenders go over on the screen and rolls, and can continue to force defenders to close out aggressively on him, it's only going to open up more driving lanes, which is where we're going to get those highlight dunks, those ridiculous passes, and all the things that, you know, that he's known for. So, long story short, I'll say that the continued development of his three-point shot will be the thing that takes him, I think, from being an all-star to being an actual legitimate MVP candidate. Because if he can shoot the three-pointer at a high level and continue to build on the success that he had from the outside as a rookie, yeah, the sky is the absolute limit for him in terms of what he can accomplish. And I do think that if he can be a 37-38% three-point shooter, that he'll be an MVP candidate, you know, in the next 5 to 6 years.
And of course, with Jaw, you know, is analytics, and you know, the game is, you know, evolved and things like that. We've of course now breaking down the 3-point shot from where, not only where you shoot it, but how you shoot it. You know, that ability to you know, either catch and shoot, but in Jaw's case, with, you know, his high usage, it'll be the ability to do the pull up shooting as well. But that's part of the equation I wanted to bring up about his decision making. You know, we talked about his pass and we've talked about his athleticism, his highlights and things like that. But I myself and a few other people, we are just kind of blown away with not only how fast he can compute situations and, you know, dissect the situation on the court, but just his general intelligence. Not saying it's surprising, but just to the level that it already is at such a young age, that provides him with such a productive floor and in terms of where his game is now as he evolves. But it also really helps him make the Grizzlies as a whole better. And I think that that is a huge benefit to a team that's going to have to rely on development more than free agency. Has that been at a much higher level than you thought it would be? His overall intelligence and decision-making when it comes to his passing and things like that on offense?
Yeah, he averaged more assists as a rookie than Mike Conley, I think, did in any season during his Grizzlies tenure. That's insane. I mean, that's wild. I mean, obviously, you know, his usage rate is through the roof, as you mentioned. You know, Mike obviously had the ball in his hands a lot, probably not as much as Ja did. But still, that stands out. And I think a lot of that is a credit as well to Taylor Jenkins. All right, we keep talking about Conley. It's almost inevitable. I mean, maybe I'm bringing him into this too much, but if you flash back to early in Mike Conley's career, I mean, they were just so hesitant to unleash him and actually give him the green light, you know, to play his game. And that was at a time when the franchise really wasn't even any good. So there wasn't any reason really for them to be so hesitant to let Mike Conley flourish, but they were. And so, I mean, I know the game has changed a lot over the last decade plus since Conley entered the league, and there's more of an emphasis now on development than there was back then. But the fact that the Grizzlies essentially just let Ja go from day one of the preseason is a huge testament to Taylor Jenkins because they recognized early on how talented he was, how well he sees the court, and how good he could actually be if they just let him play through some of the rookie mistakes. And because they did that, I mean, his confidence stayed high. There were never, I felt like, any instances where, you know, the game was just too big for him. And so they just avoided a lot of the rookie hurdles that you expect from a point guard. And so that, to me, is a testament, of course, to Ja and his basketball IQ. But I think this coaching staff also deserves a lot of credit for recognizing what they had and not trying to rein it in and not trying to overcoach it. And I think that there are a lot of parties that deserve the credit there, including probably Ja's father, who, as we know, continued even throughout Ja's rookie season to dissect film with him and rewatch the games with him at night, you know, afterwards. And they continued to you know, just go through the tape and try to learn. And that, again, comes back to who Ja is as a person and sort of that the mentality and the upbringing that that he had, that he is still sort of living in this moment. And so, yeah, that's a credit to Ja, but it's a credit to those around him as well, that he was able to flourish the way he did as a rookie.
And we keep talking about it, you know, the support that his family showed, especially his father has shown him, the support that the organization has showed him. Well, that's a compliment to all those sources, but it's also a compliment to Ja. He's an easy guy to support because of how humble and, you know, as you stated, how the high level of humility that is there with him. David, before we wrap up the show, I will ask this question for you, kind of putting you on the spot a little bit. We've heard a lot of comparisons about Ja. I kind of like the Derrick Rose comparison, maybe not as strong, but, you know, more athletic in terms of the finishing ability. When you watch Ja in his rookie season, who did he potentially stand out that, you know, he reminded you of? I know he's going to be his own player, but who did he remind you of the most?
Oh, that is tough. I see Derrick Rose and I see Russell Westbrook as well.
Okay.
Yeah, so, I mean, you look back, people think of Russell Westbrook now as a walking triple-double. Well, early on in his career, he wasn't he wasn't shooing his big men out of the way to go grab every rebound like he does now. So this is a guy who was more of a traditional point guard early in his career, I think, at Oklahoma City. But Ja's better earlier than Russ was. And he also, I think, brings some of the court vision and ball handling of a Kyrie Irving with the explosiveness maybe of a Derrick Rose. This is kind of wild. I've just given you like a buffet of like three of the top point guards in the NBA and pick the best attributes of all of them. But to be honest with you, that's why Ja Morant won the Rookie of the Year award with a 99-1 vote. He's that good. He really is. He's one of the most exciting players that I've ever seen. And I do think that he combines the best elements of some of the best point guards in the league today. So Russell Westbrook, you know, some of the overall game, because that's who Ja models himself after. So the way he attacks the basket with just relentlessness, the way he pushes the ball up the floor. And then with Kyrie, you know, I see some of the ball handling, some of the passing acumen. And then with Rose, the explosiveness, of course, before the injuries. And so I know that's sort of wild, but off the top of my head, I take the best elements from those three players. And I think Ja has a lot of them. So I think the sky's the limit for him. I just love covering him. Even though I left the beat probably halfway through his rookie season, I'm always going to cherish that time that I had to cover him and to get to know him a little bit, because he's a special guy, not just on the court, but off as well. And I'm excited to see kind of how he continues to develop.
Yeah, he certainly does have that element about him. Once you interact with him in any shape or form, or you've watched him several times, it's just an instant. He's an instant source of moments that you know you need to cherish. And we're so lucky to have him in Memphis. You know, even though you're not with the, you know, covering the Grizzlies anymore, I know that you still certainly will keep an eye and will be cheering.
It's actually awesome now, because, you know, like when you're the beat writer, and I was, in all honesty, I mean, unbiased. Like, if he had started playing like garbage six games in a row, I would have written an analysis piece about what's wrong with Ja Morant or something. So, like, you really are unbiased in that role. But now that I'm not in that role, I don't have to be unbiased anymore. So I just, like, you know, I just unabashedly, with no shame, just as I've done for the last 30 minutes, just drone on about how great he is. Kind of cool.
Well, before we end the episode, do want to, you know, I know we've talked a lot about Ja. I want to give you, you know, the ability to talk about yourself. I know that, you know, a lot of fans loved interacting with you, getting your perspective when you covered the Grizzlies. You still are within the sports world. What's going on with you? What do you have coming up? Where can folks find your work as far as where your talents are directed now?
Well, most of the attention now is on college football. So I do college basketball and college football now for CBS Sports. So just sort of breaking news, sometimes longer analysis pieces. So yeah, just all things college sports. And I still tweet about the Grizzlies a decent amount, at least, and whatever. So yeah, I'm on there at David W. Cobb, and it's a mix. It's a mix of you know, my current job is college football and college basketball, but I still chime in on the Grizzlies every now and then, and so I appreciate the chance that you give me today to be a part of the Grizzlies beat again and sort of reflect on what was a great rookie season for Ja.
Well, David, if you're not opposed to it, I can tell you this, you're always welcome, and we certainly will be reaching out to you soon. Thank you so much for joining us, David. If you'll just remain on for a second after the show, we can't thank you enough for joining us.
No problem.
All right. Well, this is Sean Coleman. You can find the show at Locked On Grizz, myself at StatsSAC Podcast, wherever podcasts are available. Listen, review, let us know what you think. We always want to make sure we give you content you prefer. For David Cobb, Sean Coleman, thank you so much for listening. We'll talk to you soon here on the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. All right, David. Hey, can't thank you enough for coming on. I really, really do appreciate it. Like I said,